Welcome to the first edition of Zettercast. I'm Vegas Winger, and with me is the infamous Zetterbeard. How are you doing today, Zetterbeard?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just glad to be here and get this thing started.
I know. We've been talking about it for a long time. Finally actually get the thing working, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I tell you what, though. I feel really good, especially after the last West Coast swing. Too bad we couldn't get the last game against the Sharks last night, but hell, 6 points in eight games. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, I'd have liked to have a little bit better showing against the Sharks, but six out of eight's better than I thought they'd do. So I can't complain after they took two in a row from the Ducks. That's for sure.
Oh heck yeah, it was very good. That and you know, giving Phoenix a little bit of a stinger too. I'll accept all those wins and six out of
any
eight
win
points.
Against Phoenix is always a good win.
Heck yeah. All right, well, for all you guys listening out there, this is our first show, so I wouldn't want to say we got any bugs we got to work out, but. Definitely, please feel free to, if you've got any questions or comments or things you want to hear, something we need to improve upon, please feel free to post on the Zetterbeard page, and either Zetterbeard or I will take a look and include your things of the show. You want to go ahead and mention a couple of things we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, I think we're going to go over basically how the Wings are looking as a whole. There's been a couple of we just signed a big free agent, so we're going to talk about that and some other possible moves, and we might touch on a couple other things, Larry Murphy moving on and a few things of that nature. We're just going to see how it goes, wing it, so to speak.
The crazy Larry Murphy, I like it. Well, speaking of, let's just get right into it then. Speaking of how the Wings are doing, looking at the conference standings right now, Detroit's holding in sixth. They're 1 point behind. LA for fifth place, and they got San Jose's on their heels with 38 points. Overall, I'd say, especially lately, things have been going well. The last 10, they're 5-4-1. However, I think they've been playing a lot better as of late as opposed to the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. This is the first real stretch where I felt confident that the Wings could not only make the playoffs, but make a reasonable showing in the playoffs. I think the defense is starting to gel despite injuries that keep cropping up, and I think we're looking pretty good. A lot of the third and fourth liners are starting to really step up lately.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Third and fourth line, the role players doing well. A lot of the rookies and the newer players have just been playing out of their minds. I mean, I think you can't, given how the season started and how disoriented everybody looked, I think you can really say it's been a gigantic improvement. I mean, can you only imagine what would have happened if we had a real season in a training camp with these kids?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If you think back to the beginning of the season, there was a pretty long stretch of games where we didn't get any points from, I think all our points were basically from the first line. There was a handful from the second, and there was none from the third and fourth. And our defense was looking pretty shaky. Then we had a whole slew of injuries, but I think that finally we're starting to gel, and you know, if you're gonna bring it all together, this is really the time to do it as we make a final push towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd agree, and I'd say really the only thing right now that I'd really love to see more of is primary scoring. I mean, you know, Zetterberg and Datsyuk really carried the team throughout the beginning of the season, but you know, it's tailed off as of late. And I don't know if it's just the grind or what it is, but you know. I'd love to see them get scoring, and I'm going to bring up a name that I know you know and love, but I really, really wish Franzen would start using his hands, start shooting the puck more, because I think that's the one thing we're missing is just a heavy shot.
Yeah, Franzen's had a rocky couple seasons now, and you got to start to worry and wonder about his place on the team, but I think we've talked about this a fair amount before, and I think that when they signed him to such a long deal, they were counting on him being the shoot-first guy, where both Zetterberg and Datsyuk are kind of pass-first players, and it doesn't seem like Franzen, a lot of times he's not taking the shot, and then sometimes when he does take the shot, they're not always quality, you know. So, yeah, we got to get him going. That's going to be – we really need to score him and Bruner as well. I think Bruner is another guy that could fill that role and did at the beginning of the season. So if we could get one of those guys hot, we could make a better push. And if they both get hot, we could make a real serious run.
Yeah, Bruner shooting, you know, you and I have kind of talked privately about this, but I think Bruner started out the season so well, and he's been getting a little gun-shy and not wanting to shoot. And, you know, The kid needs to shoot the puck. He's got a hell of a shot. He's got a nose for the puck, so he's always around it. And he's not the one who needs to be behind the net grinding that stuff out. That's got to be some of the other guys getting the puck to him. But all in all, I'd say, you know, it's been a good season so far. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Quite frankly, I was worried that they just weren't going to make a showing this year. So, you know, that being said, you know, the playoffs, what do you feel are the chances of the team actually making the playoffs this year?
I think we have a pretty good shot right now. We're in sixth, like you say, and the division's so tight. It's lose two and you're out, win three and you're in fourth. You know, that's where it is right now. So it's like it's tough to know. I mean, they could theoretically go on a big losing streak and get knocked out. But the way they've been playing the best hockey I've seen all year, and Howard's looked great. Datsyuk's looking pretty good. Like you say, I wish you could find the net back of the. But for the most part, I think we have a really good shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, I do too. We lost you for a second there, but I think we got the gist of the discussion. You know, as far as it's a good point to bring up, though, as far as the next few games. I mean, the next game's going to be tough. We've got, you know, going to be at home against Chicago on Sunday, it looks like. And then after that, it's Colorado. I think those are all winnable games. I personally think this is the time to hit Chicago. The last two times I've watched them play Chicago, a couple bad bounces just killed the team, you know. So, and then after that, the next five games are Chicago, Colorado, Phoenix, Colorado, and then San Jose, or excuse me, St. Louis. And I personally think, you know, you can nab at least four wins in the next five games. What about you?
If you could get four out of those five, that would be really good. You know, the Chicago, like you said, we've hung tight but couldn't quite finish him out. That's a real statement game. You know, you want to know really how well the Wings are playing. It's you're going to see it in that Chicago game. St. Louis has always got a pretty tough team. You know, that's another game. How we play in those games will really let you know how we are going to do in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, and you know, just looking at the next week's worth of games, week or two. You know, it's definitely going to be tight. We got another game against Chicago, another game against San Jose. After that, it looks like a pretty decent, I wouldn't say easy stretch, but it's definitely a winnable stretch. So I agree with you. I think there's a good chance to sneak in the playoffs. Better than sneak. I honestly think they're going to be able to, I think they're going to hold on tight and grab this fourth or fifth seed. I think things are coming together. The power play is starting to look good. I would look at last night's game against San Jose as just a blip in the radar. You know, one of those games where Detroit played down and San Jose did everything they could to not let them get any chances. So I agree with you on the playoff thing. But speaking of the next couple weeks, next Wednesday, April 3rd, is the trade deadline. You know, how do you feel about our team right now? Do you think they should make any moves? Hold pat for now. What's your opinion on that?
I personally like the team the way it is. I don't think I would make any moves. You know, I think the defense was the big question mark early on. They're finally gelling, and unless you could pick up a scorer for a reasonable trade, like you're not losing anybody too crazy, then I like the defense the where it's at, and I pretty much like the team. I don't think I would personally make any moves.
Yeah, I think I agree with you to a point. I think the team where they are right now is in a very good spot. I think the only I think the big name on the market, like we were talking about earlier, is Jay Bouwmeester. I think his skill set works with the traditional Red Wings type of gameplay. He's a puck-moving defenseman. I can't remember if he's right-handed or left-handed off the top of my head, but he's a puck-moving defenseman. He's a hard hitter. He's basically a little bit of Cronwall and a little bit of Lidstrom mixed in together. Unfortunately, he's in a bad situation in Calgary, so I wouldn't look at all of his numbers per se, but I think he would fit. Now, that being said, we've got a hell of a squad of defensemen right now who, personally, I think they're going to get nothing but better. So if they were going to make a move on somebody like that, it would have to be for the right price. And unfortunately, right now, Calgary's in such a rebuilding mode that I think they're going to be just asking too much.
Yeah, it's tough to know. I really like our defensemen the way they're at. I think they're finally playing well. And the thing I wonder about is if you pick him up, who do you move? Like, so it seems like White is on the outs with Babcock, so he might get moved, but we'd still be one defenseman too many. And I really like our crew. But as far as Bouwmeester goes, I will say that if you take a look at our last few really good teams and what we lost Lidstrom, obviously, and we lost Rafalski, and those were, it's really Stewart to some degree. Those are guys that would tee it up from the blue line. And really right now it's Cronwall back there shooting and White sometimes shooting when Babcock decides to put him in the game. So that's something that Bouwmeester would definitely get back to the team that, that they're certainly missing this year compared to previous years.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's definitely nice to have a nice heavy shot from the blue line, something that unfortunately, you know, is left to Cronwall and bringing that up. I think, unfortunately, Cronwall hasn't been able to play his game because he's trying to pick up Lidstrom's slack, per se. And that's not to say Cronwall's been playing bad. I mean, he started off a little rocky, but I think he was trying to get adjusted to his role. But he definitely can't play his preferred brand of hockey, which is, you know, hit first, ask questions later. And unfortunately, that takes a physical element away from the defense. And maybe bringing in another defenseman would help that. Now, whether that's this year or next year, you know, it definitely remains to be seen. But I agree with you. I think if you told me that we were going to make the playoffs with this squad, how I felt about it, I think we'd do all right. I mean, you know, and you got to realize, even if they go one and done this year, I think they're going to do a lot better than a lot of people thought, just based on who this team lost. I mean, you got to look at over the last two, three years. Rafalski, Brad Stewart, Nick Lidstrom, you know, Holmstrom's gone. A lot; those are big pieces that takes a lot of, you know, it's big shoes to fill.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about, especially with some of the power play issues we had, they've sort of sorted themselves out lately. But I mean, if you think about how we used to have guys teeing it up from the blue line, then you had Homer right in the middle blocking stuff up and occasionally redirecting shots. And also, maybe that's some of Franzen's trouble, you know. I mean, if you have guys keying it up, he's in the slot, he gets a big rebound, he can make some moves real quick, you know. Maybe that's part of what's adding to his slump as well.
Right. Yep, I agree with you. Well, you know, and since we're talking about defensemen, some breaking news just came out about the Detroit Red Wings. We got a new player, new young defenseman, actually.
Yeah, this new defenseman, DeKaiser's his name. He played at Western Michigan, and he was a real big deal, I guess. Like, you know, I hadn't heard that much about him, even being a Michigan guy myself. But apparently he was a really big prospect, and we had a really good shot at him, everybody thought. And sounds like we signed him. And from what I hear, it sounds like he might come right to the NHL, which would be very surprising to me and not very much like what the Wings usually do.
Yeah, they, you know, that's one thing you got to look at with the team. They've got a habit of leaving their prospects in the Grand Rapids system. Some would say too long, but they definitely prefer their players to be a little bit more seasoned before they get to the NHL. You know, I think with the way the league's going, they're going younger, faster, and all that. I personally feel that maybe they should take a chance on these guys. You know, I mean, this year might be the year that they actually realize how much talent they actually have waiting in the wings, you know. And, you know, you don't obviously don't want to drop some guy like Holmstrom or the guys we've had in the past to pull those guys up. However, you know, right now is the perfect time to look at that type of stuff. So hopefully maybe this kid comes in and he makes an impact. I mean, like you said, I haven't really paid too much attention to the college ranks, but I guess he's a good kid, 6'3", big guy. Sounds like he's offensive minded too, and you know that'd be good. And actually, I take that back. He's what they're saying is a little bit more of a stay at home guy, but maybe you get someone like him in there and it'll freeze up someone like Cronwall to play a little bit more offensively.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, Cronwall, White, you know, Quincy when he comes back, those guys will take shots. You know, as long as they can trust their defensemen to cover their ass more or less. So yeah. I like the kid. You know, I don't mind bringing him up. Let's bring him up as a seventh defenseman. Why not? You know, I was really happy to see Mrazek get some starts earlier this year. I understand that he won't be probably the goalie next year, or even maybe for a couple of years. He might not even be really a wing, but I like to get him up there, get him you know, his eyes on the NHL. He can see what kind of shots he's going to face, and then he knows what he's working towards. And I think it keeps him motivated, and I think it gives him an idea of where he needs to be.
Yeah, I agree with you right there. I mean, definitely bringing these kids up and see what they can do, and hopefully they make an impact. So,
yeah, you never know. Every once in a while, you'll get some super stud that can just start right away, you know?
No, yeah, definitely. You never know. I mean, catch a little bit of a surprise, and you get someone who's just a special hockey player. I mean, it always seems like every other team's doing that, but the Red Wings. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a change in the guard right now with how the team's going to be, you know, be handled. And maybe we can bring this up a little bit later, but definitely with the team, switching conferences next year, that'd be something we might be able to bring up on a later show. Is you know, what kind of an impact is that going to be from a roster standpoint?
Yeah, personally, I mean, not to harp on this too much so we can move on, but I mean, I thought they waited on Howard too long. I thought Osgood was starting to tail off towards the end, and I would have liked to see Howard moved in sooner. It's hard to let your legends go. And then also with Smith, yeah, you know, I would really like to see Smith up a lot more last year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and it is hard letting the legends go. But like you said, maybe we should next topic here. But speaking of the trade deadline, does Ray Sherrill have pictures of other teams' GMs, you know, in compromising positions or something? How the hell did he pull off what he did?
I don't know. The Penguins were the only real major player in free agency, and you can't fault them for the moves they made, but I sometimes wonder what the other teams were thinking.
Well, I think it's a combination of, the Iginla thing. He's got a no-trade clause. He wanted to play in Pittsburgh. And, you know, that right now they're definitely on paper the strongest team. I mean, after the Iginla trade, I was actually sitting around with my hockey team, and we were looking at the line combinations, and we're just, like, you know, blown away. I mean, they've got, you know, two top lines, almost three top lines. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Their second line is better than a lot of teams' first lines, for sure.
It's definitely disgusting. I mean, then the joke I was telling you earlier, it's like they almost got a captain per line. I mean, they've got a ton of leadership. They've got a ton of scoring, obviously. The only thing I don't even know if you can fault them on their defense. You never know is which Marc-Andre Fleury is going to show up in the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, that team's unfortunately, you know, us somewhat biased and devoted Red Wings fans, it hurts to say, but I think they're the team to beat right now.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be them or the Blackhawks is what it looks like, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them face off for a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it might be one of those Stanley Cup finals where all the true Red Wings fans don't want to watch the TV. But, I will say this from someone who plays hockey and just enjoys the game, just stepping back from the obvious bias, I'll tell you what, if they do make the finals together, that's going to be one hell of a series for just watching hockey.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think that'll be a good thing for hockey, for the NHL in general. I think that the bigwigs at the NHL would love to see that series. That's two pretty major market teams and two of the most popular teams in the NHL that would be facing off.
Yeah, you've got one Original Six team and then the general national fan favorite. I mean, if you're an NHL fan and a hockey fan, you know, You can't help but almost want that. You know, unfortunately for us Red Wings fans, that's, it'll be a little painful, but hey, you know what? We'll get there soon. I really feel with this team, give it a year or two for them to gel, and they're going to be scary good.
Yeah, honestly, I was upset to see Lidstrom go. Rafalski going was a shock when he went. No one expected that. And some of these guys, Stewart, we sort of knew was going, but, you know, we would have liked to keep him. But honestly, it's now that the season's gone on, it's for the best. We've gotten some young guys, we've gotten them some ice time. Lashoff's been a big surprise. You know, he wouldn't even be playing. Ideally, we wouldn't have ever brought him, you know, up, because we would have still had Lidstrom or whoever. And I just like some of these young players. We got some really good young talent. Tatar's great. Anderson's looked really good. So I'm excited about some of these young guys, and I think now is the time. You know, they're young, but I mean, they're early to mid-20s. They're getting there. Now's the time to get them ice time, and they're getting goals. They're getting good quality minutes, and it's going to help us in the next few years.
Exactly, and I think, like you said, getting them the experience now. I mean, you got to look at Datsyuk. I mean, we didn't really have him in the farm system, but he's 35, you know, and I don't know if to me, it feels like we've only had him for about 5-6 years. And yeah, I mean, I got to look at the math. Maybe we only have had him for 5 or 6 years, but you don't think of him as a 35-year-old, especially with how, I mean, you ask Logan Couture if you think Pavel Datsyuk's good, you know?
Yeah, that was the play of the game as far as the Wings fans were concerned. Couture got, I don't know, juked right out of his pads there, just fell down. I don't know that I've ever seen Datsyuk do that particular move. But more on Datsyuk news is that he signed for one more season, but they're starting to, rumors are starting to kick around that he might, quote-unquote, retire from the NHL at that time and move back to the, I think it's KHL, Russian hockey.
Continental Hockey
close
League,
out
yeah.
his career.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to say this, but you wonder if he's going to be 36, 37 by the time his contract runs out. And it, you know, I mean, it seriously pains me to actually say this, but, you know, maybe that is the time. Maybe it's like, hey, you know what, you only got another year or so left, and you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know. You're not going to be able to tell till that comes around, but, you know, just something to think about is, as a Red Wings team that maybe held on to the legends and the older guys a little too long in the past, maybe it's not a bad move.
Yeah, it's tough to say. It's a little early to really be commenting on it. It's just it's a rumor. It's based on nothing concrete as far as I can find, so who knows. But it's, you know, Datsyuk still at his age is contributing pretty well. I'd like to re-sign him, but I mean, ask me again at the end of next season. Yeah, it might change, you know. And even if I did re-sign him, I want to sign him to like a 2-year deal, because he's getting up there. You don't want him on the books till he's 44. He's not Gordie Howe, you know.
And who is, speaking of Gordie Howe, yeah, he's going to turn, I think it's next week, he's going to turn 85, so that'll be pretty cool. I guess they were mentioning last night during the game that if you're fortunate enough to go watch games with the Joe on a regular basis, on his 85th birthday, the Red Wings are going to be, during their warm-up, they're going to all wear special Gordie Howe jerseys and apparently do some kind of an auction. Not trying to plug them or anything, but I thought that was pretty cool for someone like Gordie Howe, who's, you know, just to a point personifies hockey.
Yeah, Mr. Hockey.
That's
right. It's the Wings Hawks game, isn't it?
It might be. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can pull that up. But it's pretty cool. I actually met Gordie Howe one time.
Really?
I'll have to tell you that story because it was somewhat embarrassing. But he called me fat. But we'll get into that later. But yeah, getting back on the Datsyuk thing. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that regardless of what happens with him, I think the team's got confidence in what they've actually got. So they'll be able to, if he goes, then we've got the good stuff in the background. If he doesn't, then hey, you know, then that's great. We got a couple more years of probably the best individual one-on-one player that the league's really seen in a long time.
Sure, yeah. He's fun to watch. He's definitely I think he's probably the most fun player in hockey to watch because, you know, on the offensive end, everyone knows what he can do, but he's a great back checker. He's, you know, he's always stealing the puck. He's just he's fun to watch all the time.
By the way, the Gordie Howe's birthday is, you're correct, it is this Sunday against the Hawks. So that'll be pretty cool that they're, I guess it's, you know, that they're doing something for him. So it'll be pretty fun. But anyway, moving right along here. One thing we wanted to bring up, because I think as Red Wings fans, this team's tended to have in the past, if I could speak correctly, keep the players around for other jobs, and we've been fortunate enough to keep some of the older guys around to keep paying attention to them and see what they're up to, and we've lost a past wing, and if anyone knows the answer to this, we definitely want to know, and you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah, Larry Murphy, he was Nick Lidstrom before Nick Lidstrom was Nick Lidstrom.
That's right.
Larry Murphy was great. I remember watching him as a kid before the Wings were even good, and I grew up with Larry Murphy. It was a real shock to see him gone, and I didn't quite know it even had happened. It was just one day Mickey Redman was calling a road game, and everyone's scratching their head, and you really never heard much more out of it.
Yeah, it was definitely a shock. I mean, I just can't really see how, I mean, they said ratings, but I mean, you know, you gotta look at, I can understand maybe if it was a national outlet or a national TV broadcasting, but it's the home network for the Red Wings. And not having lived in Michigan for a long, long time, but I still would like to think that even if the team wasn't doing all that hot, people would still watch the game. So is it really ratings? Did he sleep with somebody? Were the glasses pissing people off that much? I mean, we'll never know. Nobody knows. But good Lord, what happened, you know?
It really surprised me. I much prefer Mickey Redmond in a color role, but I thought Larry Murphy held his own, and especially in his between the glass there segments, I thought that he did a great job. You know, it's nice to have a real player in the booth with you to give a perspective of somebody that's been there and done it. And it was really surprising to me. And I think if it was ratings related, first of all, you're 100% right. People are going to watch the Wings. Even if Pierre McGuire called every game, people would watch the Wings. And it doesn't matter. And if for some reason a commentator was impacting the game to the point where we would have to move on from him, it would have to be Ken Daniels or Mickey Redmond or maybe Mickey York, who have a lot more hand in the game than Larry Murphy's kind of a smaller supporting role, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't even really a color. It was just like you said, it was an introspect on someone who's played the game, been there before. Because even Mickey, God love Mickey, but you know, how long ago did he play? Now, while we always like to hear his references to Mickey and Dickey, you know, he played when the, you know, I could have scored on some of those goaltenders. I mean, Christ.
Well, he played with Gordie Howe, if that's any kind of
there you go. You know, Larry at least played in the last 15 or 20 years or so, where the game maybe not as fast as it is now, but you know, a little closer. I mean, I guess what we're trying to say is he was good, and good Lord, what, you know. Yeah, I guess we'll never know. But you did bring up a certain name. You know why Pierre McGuire has to wear collared shirts all the time?
No, why is that?
Got to keep the foreskin off his neck.
But yeah, I think Pierre McGuire might be the most hated of all the hacky announcers.
Well, it's like I said, if Doc Emmerich and Pierre McGuire ever had a love child, it would be Mike Milbury. Because if I never have to hear those three ever again, I'll be a lucky man.
You know, hockey fans are pretty black and white, and they're pretty they love their teams and they hate everyone else. But the one thing that every hockey fan I've ever talked to can pretty much agree on is that they don't like any of those three.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, you know, at least we got hockey. I mean, I guess a bad day with Pierre McGuire this season is still a better day than no hockey, you know?
It was pretty down to the wire there. I wasn't sure this season was going to happen. And early in the season, I kind of wished it hadn't, the way the Wings were playing. But it was just long enough for them to get their act together, and now they're looking pretty good.
I'll tell you what, I have felt the same way about you about it. I didn't think it was going to come close to not having the season. Me and my teammates were talking about Skyping our games and putting them online. Maybe we can get a little bit of exposure.
There you go, yeah. So yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is that the Wings are getting hot now, like we keep talking about. They're really playing great, but it's also worth noting that they're playing on the road. This is a big road stretch to close out the season, and the fact that they're winning so many and playing teams so well down the stretch and on the road is really important.
Yeah, you know, they've always been a pretty good team at home. Last year they had a problem winning on the road, and I think that's what eventually got them kind of killed with losing that fourth spot to Nashville. Unfortunately, I think last year was last year. I won't bring that up. But, you know, I think you're right, playing on the road – especially given the fact that they are going to go in as a lower seed. They can't be any higher than a fourth seed because there's no way they're catching Chicago. Winning on the road is definitely going to be very, very important for them.
Yeah, Chicago is just unbelievable. I was looking at these stats earlier, and they only have 4 regulation losses to 25 regulation wins. It's hard to even believe that that's correct.
Yeah, they're a good squad. But as far as I'm concerned, Patrick Kane can die in a car fire. But we're not going to get into that either.
Yeah, the Wings always play them tough. That's the most important thing. You know, the Wings in a series could still pull off a victory against any team in the league. I think if we're playing our best and our guys are out there doing what they do best, I think that I think we 100% could win the Stanley Cup this year. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm not going to Vegas to put my money on it. But it's definitely a possibility, and that's what makes the Wings, is that every year they're in the mix.
Yeah, given your last trip out here. I don't think you should be betting anymore either.
Yeah, wings cost me a couple bucks on my last trip to Vegas.
At least we had some good whiskey, right?
There you go. That cost me a couple bucks too.
Well, as we're at least you got something out of it though.
There you go.
Well, as we're winding down here, is there anything upcoming on the Zetterbeard website? I know we've been talking about. Do you want to bring up our poll?
Yeah, I think we might start a wing of the week type feature on the podcast, and we might feature. You know, I mean, it's easy to feature Zetterberg or Dadseek, but maybe we'll do somebody a little less loved. You know, maybe even like Howard. Howard's been great this year. Or some of the minor role players, you know, Anderson, I thought looked good. Nobody knows anything about him. So I think we're going to throw a poll up on the Zetterbeard, which is just Facebook/Zetterbeard. And then you guys can all vote on it. And whoever you vote for, we will do a feature on next week.
Yeah. I think,
and we'll go over and some of the finer points and some of the smaller details that you might not know.
Yep. And not to plug your page a little bit more, I think, excuse me, maybe what we can, if there's, like I said in the beginning of the broadcast, if there's something you guys want to see, something you want to talk about, questions you might have, things like that, you know, we definitely would like to get your guys' participation. You know, as much as I'd like to say we're just sitting around doing this because we got nothing better to do, this really is something we'd like to be more interactive. I joined the Zetterbeard site because, you know, I mean, it's great hockey talk amongst smart hockey fans. I actually re-signed up for Facebook just to keep in touch with you guys, so I think we would both like to see a lot of fan participation here, and let's make this into a fun thing for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. That part of what makes that page so great is, as much as I think I'm great, it's really everyone that posts and responds, and I really like hearing everybody else's point of view on everything that's happening in the hockey world, but specifically the Wings and the Wings games.
Yeah, and I will say this, not to throw us both under the bus here, but if we get enough participation here, we've researched ways to do a possible live show, and we might be able to do something like that if there's enough participation. And you never know, maybe we'll get lucky and be able to broadcast from the Stanley Cup Finals one year.
Next year, I think.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice, right?
Yeah, I think pretty sure we'll be there next year when the Wings are winning it all.
Oh, God, I tell you what, man, it'd be nice. Definitely be nice. Well, I'll say this, it was fun first show.
Yeah, I think it went all right. Hopefully you all enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll close out with a little journey here. And I guess, not to be too corny, but you know what, Wings fans, it's been a rough season. But don't stop believing. We're going to keep this train going. Anyway, Zetterbeard, it's great talking to you, and I guess we'll wing it next week.
All righty, I'll see you next week.